Hey, my name's Caden, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
I'll be by the stream.
Do not swim.
I won't.
Do you remember skipping through life, skipping through your days? Ah, to be a child again and carefree and not a worry in the world. Children are incredibly special. And in our culture, we hold them in very high esteem. In fact, you could say we idolize children, idealize them at least. But that hasn't always been the case. In fact, in the first century, children were considered the lowest rung on the social ladder. The Mediterranean world, including the land of Israel, was very status conscious. And your status determined your worth. And your status was determined by your contribution to society. So the greater the contribution, the more widespread, the more important you were. Children, what do they have to offer? They can't do anything. They have to be cared for. They have to be served. They have to be given a lot of stuff. So they were considered very, very low, the lowest on the social strata. And then along comes Jesus, and the view of children changes dramatically. Today we're continuing a series that we're calling The Chosen. It's based on a completely crowdfunded TV series on the life of Jesus. First season was done a couple years ago, and it covers the very early days of the ministry of Jesus where he chooses his disciples. And a couple weeks ago, we began with the story of Mary of Magdala. And then last week, we looked at Nicodemus. Well, today, the characters are fictitious. The dialogue, though, is based on the teachings of Jesus about children and about the need to be childlike to enter the kingdom of God. One thing is for sure, Jesus welcomed children. Others didn't, but he welcomed them nonetheless.
There was one tool I've never seen before. I don't know what it's for. I think he was building stuff. I don't know. And there was some food too, but even though I was hungry, I didn't take any because that would be wrong. But maybe we could take a little bit this time. What do you think? But I'm glad I didn't, because that's when the man got there. Come on, go faster.
I'm trying, Abby, but your legs are going too fast.
If he comes this time, should we say something to him? I think if you're with me, it's okay. I didn't see a sword or anything like that, so I don't think he'll kill us, and he seemed nice. Do you have a sword, just in case? Oh, we're almost there. Here it is.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives forth bread from this earth. And I pray that if there are ever two children who come visit my home here, that you will give them the courage to say shalom, so that they will know they do not have to remain in hiding.
He's a good man.
Stay. Amen.
We need to go. Stay. We are going to stay. Ah!
What's that sound I hear? Sheep don't sound like that. No, that's definitely not sheep. Maybe a rooster? Greetings, children. You know, it is not safe for a child to wander from their home. You never know if there are bad men around. You are wise to bring your friend this time.
Joshua.
Shalom, Joshua. I admire your bravery to come here. You are a good friend. Well, don't worry. I'm not a bad man.
See? I knew it.
You are free to stay for a bit, but I'm afraid I have some work to do.
Okay.
And thank you for not taking any food yesterday.
See? I knew it. So, what are you doing here?
I'm visiting for a time.
Where are you from?
Nazareth.
What is that hood for?
I'm building something.
Are you a carpenter?
Sometimes, but I'm a craftsman. I build all kinds of things.
So why don't you live in the house?
I travel a lot.
How do you make money?
Happy.
Just asking him how he makes money.
I know, you shouldn't.
It's okay. I don't make money when I travel. So for now, I build things and trade them for my food and clothing.
What is that?
Ah, this is going to be a lock and key.
Joshua, ask him questions. He's nice.
No, thank you.
What else will you build?
Wealthy people love decorations and toys for their children.
My family isn't wealthy.
Many times that's better.
I don't know about that.
You will.
My mom made me this.
Oh, what's her name?
Sarah.
Very pretty.
Okay, time to go home. Bye.
There are a number of times in the Gospels when parents brought children to Jesus just so Jesus could lay his hands on them and bless them. And in a status-driven culture, that was not cool. The disciples didn't like that because to have children around this very important rabbi was beneath him. And so they would try to shoo him away. And every time, Jesus rejected that. And in Matthew 19, he says, "Let the little children come to me. And do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." He placed his hands on them and he blessed them. Jesus always welcomed children. Oh, but be careful what you welcome. You may get more of it.
You couldn't have waited half an hour, eh?
Can we be around today? These are my other friends, and Joshua again.
Shalom, Abigail's friends. And Joshua again.
Shalom. Shalom.
Can we be around today?
I suppose, but I have some work to do. You might have to help. Good.
How much longer are you going to stay here?
Until it is time for me to go.
When's that?
Well, I have some work to do here and some people to meet. And then I will know the right time.
You seem nice. Are you dangerous?
Maybe to some. But no, not to you. And I won't harm anyone.
Do you have friends?
A few and more to come.
Abby said you travel a lot. Do you have a house?
My father provides everything I need.
Is your father rich?
Did Abigail tell you to ask me that?
No.
That is a question for another time.
What's your favorite food?
Oh, Joshua the Brave speaks. I like so many different foods, but I especially love bread for many reasons. How are those spoons coming along, girls? Good? String. Is it tight?
Yep.
Almost?
Almost.
Okay. So tell me, do you all know how to pray the Shema?
Yes.
Oh, I would love to hear it. You lead us.
Hear Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And it shall come to pass, if you surely listen to the commandments I command you today, that you may gather in your grain, your wine, and your oil, and you will eat, and then you will be satisfied. I am the Lord, your God.
Beautiful. Very good.
So, why don't you have a home?
My home is many places.
Why?
Because because I have a much larger job than just being a craftsman or a teacher.
You're a teacher too?
I will be soon.
What other job?
Everyone has a much larger job than just their trade. And you are more than just students. You are at school to show love to one another and to take God's word and to share it. And at home, to honor your father and mother. And most important, from the law of Moses, to love who?
The Lord, your God, with all your heart.
Very good, Joshua the Brave. So, I will be doing my work in many places.
Have some really important things to teach children. We need to teach kids how to pray and how it touches the heart of God to hear a child pray. We need to teach children the Word of God. We need to teach children the value of work and having a trade and a skill and a job, but that their job is just not the work from 9 to 5, that they're at school and we're at work to love those we're with. Very important things that we need to pass on that'll never be taught unless we are intentional about doing so. And that's why at La Croix from day one, back when we met in the theater and we had the 4 rooms of the theater, one was for adults and worship, and then 3 of the other rooms were for kids of all ages to learn the ways of the Lord. And that's been a major emphasis of ours through the years, as seen in the rainforest in La Croix Kids. This past year has been a remarkably challenging year in many respects, but especially in children's ministry. And our children's ministry team's done an amazing job to try to come alongside parents and to equip them to raise up their children in the ways of God. And it's great to see progress. A few weeks ago, we opened up the rainforest at the 9 o'clock service. And I have to say, after months of not seeing them come, I was standing in the hallway watching parents bring children in, and my eyes welled up with tears, and I was overcome with emotion to see parents bringing their kids again. And I'm very pleased to say, in 2 weeks, on Time Change Sunday, when we begin Daylight Saving Time, the rainforest is opening at the 11 o'clock service, so that you can bring your children here to grow in the ways of the Lord. And we want to open it back up at Saturday night too. And the only thing that has hindered us thus far is having enough volunteers, enough workers. This has been a challenge. A number of our folks who worked with children have been uncomfortable maybe because of the pandemic. Friends of mine who serve similar churches all around the country report the very same thing, that it's a challenge to get volunteers, workers today. But we want to serve our kids in this all-important way. And so I'm appealing to you today to consider serving in children's ministry, if even for a season, to help bridge this gap as hopefully the pandemic winds down. And sometimes, you know, on a team, folks have to play out of position. Sometimes shortstop, and aren't you glad they're playing baseball in Florida now, huh? Sometimes a shortstop has to go play out in the outfield because that's where the team needs him. And some of you maybe did children's ministry years ago. We could use you now. Or maybe you've never done it or even considered doing it. What if you considered it now? You can go on the website, you can go on the app and let us know of your interest. You can get in touch with our children's ministry directly. I also want to resurrect Middle Ground, our ministry to middle school children. And same thing, if you would like to help with that, we could really use your help because there's nothing more important than teaching our children how to pray, teaching our kids to know and love God. Well, Let's go back to the next scene in The Chosen.
Behold how good and how pleasing. Brothers could sit together in unity.
Brothers could sit together in unity.
Behold how good and how pleasing.
Behold how good and how pleasing.
See that scene? That's my favorite scene in that episode. As the kids had spent the day with Jesus, they walk away chattering and excited and talking about their experiences and the things they learned from Jesus. Because here's the deal, friends, to spend time with Jesus is to flourish. To spend time with Jesus is to thrive. And we need our kids to experience that as well. We want them to experience the love of God, and we need to teach our children to practice the presence and enjoy the presence of God.
So what did you do?
I tried to walk away, but he wouldn't stop pushing me. So I pushed him so hard, he fell down.
And that's why you were punished. Did you expect something different?
But even Torah says eye for eye. Why should I be punished too?
Yes, but that is for a judge. You were hardly in a court of law. And you, all of you, are to be special. You are to act differently than others.
You tell us to be gentle. But Rabbi Josiah said Messiah would lead us against the Romans, that he would be a great military leader.
It is important to respect your teachers and honor your parents. And Rabbi Josiah is a smart man. But many times, smart men lack wisdom. Is there anything in Scripture that says Messiah will be a great military leader? There are many things about Scripture that you cannot understand yet, and that is okay, that is fine. You have many years ahead of you, and God does not reveal all things at once. But children, what if many of the things that our people think about how we are to behave and how we are to treat one another are wrong? You want things to be fair. When someone wrongs you, you want to right it. And you know who else loves justice? But what does the Lord say in the law of Moses about justice and vengeance?
Vengeance is mine.
Yes, very good. Very good. Boys, pay attention. She doesn't even go to Torah class, huh? The Lord loves justice. But maybe it is not ours to handle. Do you remember when David had the chance to kill King Saul, who was evil to him? But he didn't. Saul was God's anointed. And it was not the right time for justice. And God says he will have compassion on his people when... what? Let's see if someone who studies this at school is learning, huh?
When their strength is gone?
Yes, very good. So, maybe we let God provide the justice. Maybe we handle these things in a different way, not trying to be the strongest all the time.
Even Messiah?
You will have to see. But do not expect Messiah to arrive in Jerusalem on a tall horse carrying weapons. And he will be most pleased with those of you who are the peacemakers. This is my reason for being here.
I still don't understand. What is your reason for being here?
I'm telling you this because even though you are children and the elders in your life have lived longer, many times adults need the faith of children. And if you hold on to this faith really tightly, someday soon, you will understand all of what I'm saying to you. But you ask an important question, Abigail. What is my reason for being here? And the answer is for all of you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and a recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Isaiah,
I have loved spending this time with you. You are all so very special. And I hope that my next students ask the same questions you do, and that they listen to my answers. But I suspect they do not have the understanding you do. And I hope that when the time comes, they will tell others about me, like you have.
So this scene gets really to the core of Jesus' teaching around what it means to be childlike. In Matthew 18, we read that the disciples come to Jesus with this question. It says, at that time, disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, this was, if you read through the Gospels, you're going to see that this comes up a lot. Why? In a status-driven culture, it was really important to know your place. It was really important to know the pecking order. And so they're wanting to know. And of course, the one asking the question is hoping that Jesus says, why, of course, it's you. Well, that's not what happened. In fact, Jesus used this question, as he did on other occasions, as a teaching moment. So in verse 2, he says, apparently there were children in the vicinity. He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change, repent, and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Do you hear that last word? When we welcome children, do you know we're welcoming Jesus into our presence? Yeah. So he calls this child. And he has this child stand. Now, we're not told the child's gender, but some commentators believe it's a girl. Because as I said, children were at the bottom of the rung, socially, culturally speaking, and girls, the lowest spot. So he calls this child, I believe this girl, and has her stand there. And he uses this occasion to teach them something really important. Now, I want you to notice, first, the child comes when called and stays put. Why does she do that? Would adults be so accommodating? Would adults maybe push back or kind of negotiate with Jesus about what they were going to do when? Maybe. But this child doesn't balk at all. She comes when Jesus calls, and she stays put. Why? She was humble. Children are humble. And it's this humility that Jesus is trying to accentuate. He says this, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Do you know that in first century Rome, humility was seen as a vice, not a virtue? Yeah, in Rome, it was considered that the strong were the ones who pushed their way to the front. That the strong were the ones who asserted themselves, who put their resume out there, who made themselves look really good so that they could advance further. Humility? Well, humility would hold you back. Some historians have done some interesting work. In fact, one spoke at the Global Leadership Summit a few years ago, and he said, you know, in history, something changed because in culture today, humility is considered a virtue. It's respected. It's honored. And they said, where did the change come from? How did that happen? And this historian makes a very powerful case that it happens because of the teaching of Jesus. That Jesus comes along and holds up something that the culture considered a vice and says, no, it is one of the greatest virtues there is. You see, God, in James, it tells us, actively resists the proud. He resists the proud. Pride was the original sin. Pride is what caused the archangel Lucifer to become Satan. But it says in James, but he gives grace to the humble. So humility is a remarkable virtue. I fear, though, in our day it's becoming more rare. I still believe we see it as a virtue. The problem is we just don't see a lot of it, let's be honest, especially in the public square. You're not going to see it in the political class. You're not going to see it among celebrities, and we are a celebrity-driven culture. There's just not a lot of humility out there that we can point to and say, wow, look at that example. But Jesus still values the humility of a child. Now, when we talk about being childlike, there is something radically different about that than, say, childish, being childish, childishness. Being childish is being demanding, kind of throwing a tantrum if you don't get your way, wanting always to get your way, being immature, that's childish. Paul in 1 Corinthians in the famous love chapter says, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, I spoke like a child, but when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. So nowhere in the New Testament is childishness held up as something to be honored. But childlikeness? Oh yeah, big time. Why? What is it to be childlike? Well, what are the qualities of children? First off, let's just say they're darn cute, right? I mean, kids are really cute. How could you not laugh? I just saw the sweet pictures of the children go up today. They're so cute. And I'm looking at them right here. You know, this past week, one of the best things about being a grandparent is you get to go through that whole cute stage all over again. This past week, my 2.5-year-old granddaughter, Lucy, who apparently is reading Fancy Nancy books. If you've heard of them, apparently Fancy Nancy teaches fancy words. Okay, so Lucy tells her dad that she is no longer thankful that she is crestfallen. I've never used the word crestfallen in a sentence, but she did. He said, well, Lucy, what does that mean? He goes, it means sad and ashamed. She knew what it meant. Crazy. She's so smart. Here's Lucy with her with our 1-year-old grandchild, Emmy. And then Ethan and Adeline, our other two grandkids, on pajama day. We've got about 200 pictures. Just sit tight. Gonna walk through, demonstrate how cute they are. No, just kidding. But being childlike is more than being cute. I did some research and just looked into this a little bit. Let's look at some qualities. Have it up on the screen. Here's what it is to be childlike. Humble. We've talked about that already. Awestruck by the world around them. Our children filled with wonder. They're vulnerable, the most vulnerable members of society. Innocent, unvarnished, wide-eyed, expectant. They're moldable, they're trusting. They're not jaded or judgmental. They're not self-reliant or self-promoting. They're unstained by a lifetime of sinful choices. As you look at that list, would you say that you're more childlike these days? Would you say that those describe you as, let's just be honest, as adults, we get jaded. We become judgmental. We're not as wide-eyed as we used to be and filled with wonder. We're not as trusting. And it's a shame. We need to be childlike. Where would you put yourself on that scale these days, childish to childlike? We're a year into this pandemic. What do you think? Our culture has been more childish or childlike? What about you? One commentator I read said this about this scene and Jesus bringing up this child, that the point that Jesus is making, the weakest, most vulnerable, least significant human being you can think of is the clearest possible signpost of what the kingdom of God is like. God's kingdom is not about the survival of the fittest or the angriest, pushiest person getting to the front of the line. God's kingdom is the humility of a child. So what if you and I repented of the childishness and became more childlike?
Abigail, I know you can read. You are very special. This is for you. I did not come only for the wealthy.
Jesus loves little children, all the children of the world. And friends, being a child is not so much about age as it is heart. John, it says, to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Friends, there's no higher status in this world. There's no greater position than being a son or a daughter of God. In 1 John, the apostle wrote this, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. Friends, I want everyone to hear this now. Every one of you here is precious in his sight. Every one of you. You're made in his image. And you are called to be his son, his daughter. And that's a glorious honor. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of children. We thank you for the example of children. We thank you for the beauty of childhood. And Lord, help us, give us grace to be more childlike, less childish, and more like that child you had stand in the midst of your disciples that day. Give us grace so that we may be sons and daughters of the Most High. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to like and subscribe. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. And to learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.